Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Everybody, welcome back. We are here coming to you from the forum. I am Pete Kamboukos. I'm sitting here with Keith. And before we get into today's topic, I know something we've been talking about for the last, man, it seems like 6+ months now, has been this inflation and stuff. And Keith has discovered his own way to fight inflation.
Oh, yeah.
I think is pretty interesting.
We're fighting it. So I have decided that I would like to make 10+ leg bets on the Suns on a regular basis.
It's ridiculous.
Hit a little hot streak. The last two home games. First off, congrats to the Suns tying up the series.
Yep.
Getting back in the groove here, guys. And
nice work. And finally showed up to play.
So I just was having fun, and I made a 10 leg bet, which, as you guys know, for parlays, it's ridiculous. Like they're like lottery tickets, right?
So that's what I call them. Your lottery.
Yeah, tickets. It was my lottery ticket. So I had a lottery ticket for game 3, and I hit it. I hit a 10 leg parlay. And that was a small bet, $25, made a little over $1,000. Great, awesome. Which is still extreme. $25, make $1,000, awesome. Well, and then I was like, you know what, gotta ante it up. So game 4, you know, I did another one, but I did 11 leg parlay, you know, because why? Like that can't hit twice.
Push it.
And then I made that one for $100. Yeah. I made $7,000.
Jesus,
I hit that one
Christ,
too. Yeah, so two back-to-back 10+ leg bets.
That's unbelievable. I don't know that I've ever seen anyone hit an 11 leg parlay. You better play the lottery on the way home over here.
No, I mean, what I'm going to do is I'm waiting for game 6, and I'm going to do a 12 leg bet.
And you're going to push your luck again.
I'm going to probably make a $250 bet on that one. And just keep anteing up until I'm on house money now.
You know? It works till it don't, huh?
So
that's awesome, though.
We got some cool stuff to talk about, guys, that I think is on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
And it's what we've talked about in the past, but when you really boil it down to it, I think we're going to start getting serious now. Like we're actually going to dig into it.
Yeah, and we're at the point now, you know, when we're talking about rates and we're talking about the Fed, you know, we're at that inflection point. People keep asking, like, man, did they go too far? Like, you know, are they done or are they going to keep causing damage here and see where we are? And so the question on our mind today is, well, part statement, part question is, there will be pain, but for who? Who's going to feel this pain? I think the one thing we can be certain of is there will be pain.
You know, I got a funny comment then. It's a very famous, you know, line that's said all the time is pride comes before the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my conversation would be is the Fed has a lot of pride. There's a lot of pride in the Fed.
They have a high opinion of themselves.
And so I'm going to say, no pun intended, when I actually say pride comes before the fall, right? Because like it feels to me like these last few hikes, like they were more just to spite us. And they're like, no, I don't care. I don't care if it's already there.
Yep.
I don't care if it's broken. Screw you, we're the Fed.
We're going to keep going.
We're
going to
keep going.
Guys, we're going to keep going. It's almost like, it's like you said, like now they're just doing it to try to prove a point.
It's an ego boost. It's like, you know what, screw you, we can. We're doing it just because we can, you know? And so, we're already in crumbles out here, you know, trying to survive. Demand's literally crushed. We've been crushed for a while, and we're just inching it up a little bit higher.
It is what it is, right? Because So we had another rate hike here last week. They're well above the neutral rate now, right? And so just to make sure we're all on the same page, guys, so neutral rate is what the Fed or, you know, economists will look at and say what interest rate is neither, you know, restrictive or easy, meaning it's just neutral. It has no effect one way or the other on the market. You know, obviously, when rates went to zero, it's very easy money. It stimulates stuff. When we're above the neutral rate, you know, it contracts. It makes stuff harder, and so it pulls stuff in. But we're well above the neutral rate at this point. And that's by Jerome Powell's own admission.
Yeah.
He was asked in the last press conference, and he said, yeah, we're significantly past neutral rate. So they know that they're past the neutral rate. They know they're in the tightening thing. We do have that inflation coming down. We can argue about whether it's going to ever get back down to 2 or crest here or go up and down, and we've shared our thoughts on that before.
Yeah.
But we're down off the highs and has been trending down now for months. And so, you know, part of the difference is, and he was even asked, Keith, in the last meeting, they go, okay, so if you see, you know, jobless claims are rising, the economy slowing down, you see inflation coming in, you yourself are saying you're above the neutral rate, so why did you raise?
Well, see, typically when I'm driving a really fast car, barreling down the highway, and my engine starts to go on fire,
you just punch it?
I think I should hit it harder because clearly the NOS hasn't hit yet, and so we should light it up because that's what it feels like. And I think it feels like they truly did want to break this. Like, it's at the point now where they're just like, it's breaking, right? But it's like, no. It's not broken. Like, we want to break it.
It's like they got to give it one last smash in there before they're like,
You know, it's that movie analogy you see all over the place. Like, your bat's got a crack in it, you know, like this item, your armor's like cracked up, but you know what? Screw it. We're going to go in and get that one last hit, that one last fight. I watched Moana with my 1-year-old daughter the other day, and his big giant fish hook's got the crack, but he doesn't care. He's going in it to hit it one more time, you know. Whatever. We're dropping Disney references here on the podcast, but it's like
I like how you want to blame watching Moana on your 1-year-old.
Oh yeah, well it was me. It was my idea. Exactly, she told me. She's like, oh great, she's idea. Like,
come sit next to me so it doesn't look like I'm just watching Moana on my own.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's the same concept. We were there. We were already cracked. Like we had where we needed to be. You accomplished your task. You crushed a man. You slowed this thing down. Right. Why push it that much harder if you weren't actually trying to break it? Like if it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah. And so, okay. But then that goes to the question that people ask all the time. Are they really that dumb or are they doing it on purpose? Right. Because, and who knows the answer to this, but I will say as before we dive into some of that stuff though, you know, the other side to that is, but Keith, you know, we keep hearing that unemployment's so low, we can't find people. There's still plenty of spending out there. And so even though we're seeing, you know, hey, yes, the jobless claims are rising, inflation's coming down, the economy is slowing, but still stuff still looks pretty good. And so you've got people saying, hey, could this time be different? You know, those famous words, this time's different. And so
it's different. It really is
this time.
This boyfriend is not going to do the same things they have the last 20.
And like we say, it really, well, every time is different because it doesn't happen exactly the same way. But like, come on. You know, the saying, like it says, come on. It's not exactly the same. History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes.
It's a stupid comment.
So
I don't know how people could say, is this time different? Yes, it's different, but the outcomes, they repeat themselves. It's going to be very similar.
And that's what we'll get into here, right? So you've got people saying, well, we still see this strength. But we've got asset prices. You know, we had the stock market had a negative year. I think as of this morning, it was flat. It's at zero for the year this year. You know, real estate prices came down off their highs.
I mean, after a bull market we've had forever.
Ridiculous.
Like,
So we've seen a little bit of slowdown there. And then look at what we're talking about here, right? We've seen banks collapse. You know, I think one of the things that is amazing that we really don't hear that much about, we've had 3 of the 5 largest bank failures in the history of the United States happen in the last 2 months. It doesn't seem that way, right? Because if I told you that in a different time, like, hey, Keith, 3 of the largest bank failures in the history of our country just happened in the last 2 months, you'd think we'd be in the Great Depression. You would think, but we're not.
Well, and it's one of those things where everything has a lagging effect as well. Like we got to remember that.
That's huge.
Because most of the time, the average person is not witnessing something breaking until the effect of it actually being broken happens, right? We might be there. This might be it. Like this might be the thought of like Pete and I, like we're going to look back 6 months from now and be like, oh my God, like did it break? Wow, maybe it's a year. Who knows? But the thought is like it's always delayed. It doesn't happen exactly. It's the 08 crash, like the 06 to 08 region of our market where it crashed that aggressively. It still was slightly delayed, but at the end of the day, that was like one of the fastest reactions to a market environment that we've seen ever, right? Like outside the Great Depression and like some of these other crazy just overnight, like what the heck just happened.
Yeah, but even in 08, that took years to...
Yeah, the precursor was building it up for a long time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, people forget that when we saw, you know, people remember like the Lehman Brothers crisis when Lehman shut down and we didn't hit full crisis to like, what, almost a year later? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or I'm sorry, the Bear Stearns. Was it Bear Stearns that was first? I'm getting them mixed up now. Whatever the first one was, it was almost a year later before the full crisis was on. And to your point, this is, again, questions that they were asking, and this is what everyone's point is, what the market's pointing at. There are lag effects. And again, Powell and the Fed admit this, and they know this. So they say there's 12 to 18-month lag effects. Okay, so if we go by your measure, then we are just now seeing the effects of those very first rate hikes a year ago. And you had all
that
those
was the
rate hikes
first
afterwards.
Rate hike.
Right. So by your own statements, we're just now starting to feel the first ones. Well, we got a year full of cuts that, or increases that you put in there. So I
quakes.
Will say this, right? You're talking about this. The Fed's good at two things, right?
Yeah.
Breaking things is number one. They have a 100% record. 100%, guys. Who has a 100% record? I mean, that's astonishing.
I mean, Devin Booker's close.
He's
to,
pretty
to a free th- or for a shooting
lately.
Percentage.
My goodness, he's been on fire.
But the Fed has a 100%
record. 100% record. Every time they raise rates, they break something. 100% of the time. They've never not.
So, then
so
they
I'm
going to
put my money, if I'm using your parlay stuff, I'm going to put my money that the Fed's going to break something because that's what they do. They have a perfect track record of breaking stuff.
Well,
and two things. I will give them credit.
Okay.
Because I said they're good at two things. Saving us in an absolute crisis when the world's ready to come to an end. They step in, do what they got to do, save the world from the brink of disaster. They're also the ones who usually put us there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like what we talk about with the government. It's kind of like, first, they're going to be the ones who go over and cut your leg open. Then they're going to show up with the bandage and be like, hey, I'm here to help. And you're like, but you're the one who cut my leg open to begin with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that chaos effect of like, it's either one way or the other. It's pretty crazy to think that they would purposely break something so that they can purposely fix it. If you look at it in that point of view, if they have a 100% track record, don't you think they know what they're doing before they do it? Like, I know you can only plead ignorance for so long, but clearly they know that if they start this process, it's going to break. And that's their mission, is on purpose to break it so then they can fix it. And I always still go back to the same point of like, okay, who benefits off of both of those things?
I would also say there's a lot of ego in there because I think people forget, right? We're listening to the Fed right now talking about, oh, there's going to be a soft landing. Maybe we'll have a mild recession, you know. Oh, no, you know, we're going to land this plane in here on this. It's like these are the same people who 18 months ago were calling inflation transitory and saying there was nothing to worry about, who then did a complete about face, freaked out, and go, oh, my God, inflation is out of control. We got to rein it in by doing these huge, massive rate increases, which then led to these banking crises because they were telling the bank, well, no, inflation is transitory. We're not going to go on these massive rate hikes, to which they did. So, you know, the question, like we said, like you're pointing out is, do they know what they're doing? And I think part of the argument with a lot of people is I don't think they know what they're doing half the time. I really don't. Like, we give people a lot of credit to go, oh, do they know? I think they know some, but I also think their ego gets in the way and they think, but I'm the Fed. We can manage this thing. Like, we can make this happen. And then that's where you get in trouble because it's, yeah, they have some inkling, but they're like, but don't worry. We got it, though.
We've got it all the other times. We're the Fed.
We got it. We're good.
It just sounds so bad. It really does. So that brings me to my next question then, Pete. Are you expecting, I mean, I know the market's pricing things in, right? But are you expecting cuts to happen?
So this goes back to the title of our, there will be pain.
Okay,
right?
So who's got this pain? Who's got it?
Who's got the pain? So to your point, the market, and I think it's important for people to, when we talk about the market, we're talking about the bond market. And the bond market futures, right? So they're pricing out where are rates going to be? What are they predicting based on everything they're seeing in the market? And so the bond market is right now pricing in rate cuts starting in July.
July? You mean 2027?
I mean this July. I mean
2023?
2 months from now.
2 months from now? Pete, has that ever happened before?
Yes, it has.
It has.
Absolutely. And so this goes again. So we go to there will be pain. So would that happen, Keith? Why could that happen?
Because you went too far and you know it.
You went too far. So what is the bond market right now pricing in? They're pricing in that the Fed broke something that we don't know the full extent.
And they don't want to raise rates any further.
Not only do they not want to raise rates, but people will go, hey, the Fed's telling us they're not going to cut rates. They're saying they're going to keep them there for this year. And we're not raising. We still got to fight inflation. So why would the bond market saying we're pricing in that you're going to start cutting rates? And look, Keith, at these, what we wrote in here. Not only are they saying that they're pricing in the Fed's going to start cutting in July. They're saying by the end of 2024, they're going to cut 200 basis points. That's a massive turnaround.
200 basis points.
2%.
Yeah, that would put us to 1.5.
Well, on the 10-year, yeah.
Ish?
Yeah. It's not a direct
not relative, but well, like we're talking about.
The Fed funds is at 5.25, so they're saying the Fed funds would come back down to about, it's actually the range is a little more, so about 3%.
It probably would because it's usually, what, a 2% swing off of what that number is. So, yeah, 1.5 might actually be in the vicinity.
It could be. And so when we're talking about it is why would they be saying this when Powell's out there telling them we're not cutting rates?
They know they broke something.
Because the bond market is saying you broke stuff.
We're smarter.
We're going to see it over the next few months.
You might be the Fed, but we're clearly smarter than you.
that's exactly what they're saying. They're saying we don't believe
you.
We're calling your bluff because we think you broke something. And we're about to see it. It's kind of like, Keith, not that you would do this, but let's say you broke a cup at home, okay, and your wife didn't see you do it, but you know it broke, and you left it up on the counter, and you go, at some point, she's going to go over there, pick that thing up, and realize it's broken.
Yeah.
And the market's like, well, you know you already broke it.
Where's the super glue?
We just don't know. You just don't know it yet.
So what's crazy about this is, okay, so we talked about who there will be pain. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this. So who's at pain? So I'm going to give you a couple numbers here, and I want to know if you think they're going to feel the pain of this.
All right.
Okay? First one, shareholders, public stock shareholders, the market. Who are they going to feel some pain?
Yes, absolutely.
Scale of 1 to 10, how much pain are we talking here?
I think we could see that market trace back down towards close to that 3,200, 3,000. So, I mean,
For the
S&P. So you're talking about a 20+% drop.
So those 401ks are going to take a little bit of a beating down the stretch here.
I think it's an absolute possibility. I do. And if you look at the indicators, and there's a lot of the stuff that we look at, and that's what makes this so interesting when we say, you know, could this actually be different? And could we have, you know, we've heard the term like split recession being thrown around, where some people are feeling the pain and some people are not. Because we look at like credit tightening, we look at earnings coming down for companies and things like that, and yet on the surface everything still seems so good out there.
Okay.
And so you go, how could we? Now, the one thing as we've seen and we've talked about on this podcast many times is things now happen a lot faster. So we could see something flash down 20-25% and then shortly thereafter begin to recover. But yeah, is there a risk that that thing flashes down 20-25%? Absolutely.
Okay, I got another one for you, okay? Mm-hmm. How about the banks?
Are already seeing it, dude.
I know.
They're already going out of business.
So that's what I'm saying. So keep that in mind. Based on the price cuts down the stretch here, this change, if this actually happens, right, if we see this, are banks going to see pain or are they going to see gain?
Banks are already seeing pain.
That's what I'm saying now. Yeah. So does this change help them?
No, the Fed raising rates and going forward?
No. I'm saying breaking it and going back to a price cuts. Does this help the banks at all? Does this help what they're trying to do?
No, not right now. And I think it's important to say, so we're not just throwing stuff out there, you know, based on talking points or things that we're seeing, because we go, okay, why does the bond market think they broke something other than the fact that they have 100% record of breaking stuff, right? Because if you think this through for a second, like we said, we've had these bank failures, these huge bank failures. And what is that called? Again, Jerome Powell has asked the question, and to his own point, yes, we are seeing credit tightening. And so we talk about this in our market update when we're looking at it. We live in a credit-based system. Mm. That's not up for debate. That's just the way the system works. That's the facts of how it works. Our economy works on credit creation. It's a credit-based system, period. Look it up if you want to dive into that stuff, but that's how the system works. So we now have a system where banks are failing, okay, and they're tightening up credit. And so we're in the real estate space and we're going, yeah, but mortgages and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're not changing their standards. Correct. But what the banks are seeing is the rest of the credit they are tightening up on. So business loans, credit cards, auto loans, what have you, personal loans, they're shutting those down. And in a lot of cases, tightening up massively. So if I put the building blocks together and go, we live in a credit-based system. Our economy is a credit-based economy. We need credit creation to grow and to work. And now I have banks failing and credit tightening. So if I'm tightening, then I can't use the credit to keep going and growing. Therefore, something breaks, our economy slows down, we go into these issues, which is exactly why the bond market's saying, we think as we're seeing this credit tightening and banks failing and then pulling back, you broke it and you're going to have to cut because things at some point here in the near future are going to come to a head and you're going to go, oh, crap.
Yep.
We went too far.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. The first time home buyer. Do they feel pain or do they get some gain out of this?
I think the first time home buyer is going to be somebody that could benefit out of this, okay. Right? Because they're saving for that down payment. Okay. Yep. And what do we know? We haven't seen prices come down. Well, year over year, we haven't seen them come down at all, but we've seen them come down off the peaks.
Okay.
But we still have ultra low inventory. We still have such low inventory. So we're not seeing the price gaps on there, but because the prices aren't coming down with the rates going up, it would cause an affordability issue. Once the Fed starts cutting those rates, you know, it's not going to be an immediate effect, but that will allow those first-time buyers to step back in there now with more affordable monthly payments and maybe be able to buy a house.
Okay, so to use that as an example then, you're talking about a window of time because we also know that the market lags against that affordability metric too.
Right.
So if the rates drop, allowing demand to increase, those buyers that can finally come back to the market, well, Pete, I'm not a massive supply and demand expert, but if we still have low supply and demand picks back up because rates replenished, what does that do to the prices in the housing market once again?
It will potentially send them up again. We will be limited by affordability, but we will see that upward pressure. This is something you and I have talked about before. We should go, hey, what if the risk is to the other side because of this very thing? The Fed, rather than doing this gradually and trying to stop where they should have, is going to go too far, is going to break something, is then going to have to cut rates again when they could have just not. And now at that point, like you said, there's going to be a window in time before prices react. But over time, they will react.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to react to the upside because we still have a lot of people that need houses. We still have a lot of underlying demand. And guess what? We didn't create any inventory. We're still super low. And so, you know, do you foresee something? Well, let me ask you, do you foresee something like we saw these last couple of years where prices running like that?
I do.
Really?
I think maybe not at the same rate because the 30% year, that's stupid.
Yeah, these are unsustainable.
Like, that's never sustainable. But I think inversely of the rate change can increase in price in the same affordability box. Because in my mind, if people are still buying houses in this market, even with the affordability issue we have, right? If rates drop to a certain extent, then that means price inversely can then increase to the same affordability box we're in now stably. Like it can get to that point and we still have demand. So that means if we lose 200 basis points in pricing potentially, and again, the bond market's already pricing a lot of this stuff in, so we're not gonna see that drastic of a rate decrease. But if we go from upper fives to low sevens in range, and that drops to three. I don't think we get into threes. Let's say 4 to 6, and we see that drop in price and the interest rates. Well, then inversely, that same monthly amount of payment could increase the purchase price on the houses because we could get back to a place where affordability is the exact same it is now, but instead of it being caused because of rate, it's caused because of the housing price. Yes. So that, I think theoretically, absolutely. I do. I think we could get I'm going to say maybe an early prediction show kind of cause, but like if we do see prices or the rates decrease, I could see a 15%+ year increase.
Wow. I mean, that would be incredible. You know, I don't know that I could go out there and say,
I'm saying
because of that affordability.
If that rates drop far.
Yeah. I think you and I, well, right. Some of it's priced in. And so we could see low mortgage rates are down around the low fives or high fours again. That's possible.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think that would shove our demand way, like people don't want to miss out on another boom. Like they don't. So that demand will fly through the roof.
Right. I do think we're still limited by that affordability. So while I agree with you that we can definitely see that upward pressure again, you know, I think because of the run that we've had over those last several years, we're going to hit a ceiling there. Because again, then even with low rates, we're going to run into the same issue we have right now, which is
affordability.
People just can't afford it. Correct. At some point.
Well, and I just think that being supply is still low and demand is still knocking on the door, wanting to buy.
Yep.
I just feel like you've been holding it back and you're going to let the floodgates out. Like you've been damming up this water.
Well, and that's the part that we talk about, guys, where it's not always great and it's certainly not always fair, because what's going to happen is certain people will get locked out of that market. They will get locked out. But the problem is, if you've got low inventory, right, I only need one buyer. And so if I've had 10 people that want to be in this particular property in this location and nine of them can no longer afford to be there, but one can, technically I still don't have an affordability issue. Is that fair? Is that nice? Does that suck for the other nine people? Yeah, it really sucks for them. And no, it's not fair, but that's life.
Yeah.
Like if as long as one person can afford it, they're going to buy it. That price is going to keep going. And nine people are going to look around and go, man, I can't afford this.
I just look at it. If we get to a point where we get to 20 plus offers on a house again.
I hope we don't.
But we're already seeing it, Pete. So anything south of 500K right now in our marketplace, talking to the agents, seeing the market inventory, they're getting five plus offers again. Mm-hmm. Anything under 400, it's gone. Like it shouldn't be there. I legitimately think that, especially here in the East Valley, we may not see any price in the entire East Valley sub five in the next couple of years.
Oh, I think at some point in the next few years, we will probably get there. Because the one thing, like we say, that we can be certain of is there will be inflation. And so
the only question
we ever have is at what level? You know, is it 2%, 4%, 6%, 8%, whatever? But there will be inflation.
So this is a deep question then to finish this thing out here. If they have to cut the rates because they broke it.
Yep.
And the market in the real estate side and some of these other, maybe not every single financial market, right? Maybe real estate's just one of those weird ones that we're sitting in. And it floods and we push. Mm-hmm. And if they break it going the other direction again, because the market goes back into a frenzy and inflation grows.
It will.
Like, because we know it's going to happen. You drop rates, inflation will go back. Probably. It just will happen, especially if there's demand.
Yep.
So if inflation goes flying through the roof and everything the Fed just worked on for the last 2 years just disappears overnight, what is that going to do? Like when's this tipping point? Like I feel like it's happening quicker in both directions.
These are things that we have discussed for the last several years, both in our quarterly updates and on this podcast, because what you just described is exactly what we've been talking about happening, is that we would see that initial inflation rise. Check, we saw that. We'll see the Fed fight it to bring it back down to a certain point. Check, we're seeing that. Because
check 6 months ago.
Yes, but possibly. I mean, we're seeing the inflation keep coming down month over month. But that we wouldn't get down to that low level, that 2% that they're talking about, and I don't think we will right now. And then because they're going to break something, we will see the Fed go up the other way and shoot inflation possibly even higher than what we saw last time.
So
if you're asking, you know, my thought on what it could that happen, absolutely. Is that even likely to happen? Absolutely. If they have to cut these rates massively, there's a very good chance we'll see inflation shoot up past the highs of what we saw last time.
So what is stopping the Fed from not cutting rates and just sticking to their guns?
So what's going to happen is, back to our title, there will be pain. If Main Street, if people start losing jobs and credit is tightening where businesses are failing, stock market is crashing, regardless of what the Fed wants to do, the politicians will step in and be like, I don't care what you want, cut those rates and cut them now.
Is there any outcome where that doesn't happen? Where they stick? Because in all reality, something has to break to stop inflation. If you really want to fight this game, someone's got to be the bad parent and discipline.
And so I think what the bond market's betting on, and I would agree in this instance with the bond market, is you have this scenario, and to end it on this. You have Jerome Powell saying, I understand there's going to be some pain. Everyone's going to have to deal with it because I've got to fight inflation. And so I'm going to keep them up here. And we're going to hold steady on this.
And that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. And the bond market is saying, I don't think so, because I think you already broke something and you're going to be forced to cut them whether you want to or not. Meaning the politicians and Congress are going to step in and go, we are seeing pain on Main Street. We have people that can't feed themselves. They're losing their jobs. Money is out. If it got to that point, I don't think he can hold it. I think because at that point, they may look to remove him if he won't do it. They may look to put so much pressure. Because remember, politically, they care about what's happening on Main Street and getting reelected. And that's a real bad look if someone's trying to get reelected and we're in a big recession. And so they'll be forced to turn around.
So do they have power and jurisdiction to actually make something happen?
Who?
The government, right? Against the Fed.
They can't force them to cut rates, but
how long until him. Yeah, so can removal of the chairman of the Fed happen right away?
What's that process? Know that anyone's
do they have to get impeached?
pulled them out.
Like, how does that even, like, who controls that position?
Good question.
Because they're supposed to be a self-governing, like, type entity, so that they can't do that.
They're supposed to be, but you see them already working together. They're having meetings, you know, as they have with
because they're trying to protect their job.
They're all supposed to work together. He meets with the Treasury. And so there are things in there. I don't think it'll get to that point because I think they'll just say, do this.
You just think they'll just drop rights.
I think just do I think they'll get to a point where they say, this is what you're doing. Now, like he says, if he could he theoretically push back and go, no, he could. And then, yes, I don't know the details, but then that process would be, hey, this guy's ruining our economy. He's bad for our country. We got to get him out of there. That's what I just think the headlines will be.
It just feels like we need a massive flush, whether it hurts a lot of people or not.
Correct.
Like, our economy can't keep spiraling in this
Absolutely.
Direction.
Absolutely. Keith, what you're describing is maybe what should happen.
Correct.
Which is, like we said, we can't keep spending. Why do we have this inflation?
We have to go through the pain.
We should go through the pain. But what I think the bond market and most other people are saying is no one has the guts to go through that pain in our political environment. And the politicians every time will choose the easy path. Because what you're saying is, I agree with you. I agree with you. This isn't what I'm saying should happen or that this is even the right thing. I'm saying this is what's probably going to happen because no one has the balls to go in there and go, yeah, guys, even if we're in a big recession and there's a lot of pain on Main Street, we need to fix this issue. The government needs to rein in their spending. We need to rein in inflation. And so we're sticking to our guns. I don't think anyone out there thinks that any politicians on either side of the aisle have the balls to do that.
What you're basically talking about, you're describing our government and our economy as like a drug addict going through withdrawals.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's easier. You can't get off cold turkey.
Yep.
It's easier to say, screw it, I'm just going to be a drug addict for life. Literally what you're describing. It's you know what? I'd rather just keep taking heroin.
Yeah. This is Peter Schiff uses that all the time. He says our economy is like a drug addict, and not only can you not go off of it because you're going to crash, but every single time you need a bigger dose and a bigger dose.
No pun intended.
Exactly. And that's why we say, could the inflation actually shoot up higher? Because every time that they do this, it takes more stimulus, more money going in there to keep things going. And it just makes the problem worse.
To finish this analogy very easily, typically at some point, the drug addict dies. Because they take too much heroin and they die.
That's what everybody's question. How long can we keep doing this?
How long until you're describing a full death where it doesn't matter what way you move the Fed and what way you move rates, it blows up.
That's the $100 billion question. And if people knew the answer to that, you know, we'd all be hitting your 10, 11 team parlays.
Well, I'm hitting them, so I'm feeling good, guys. So at the end of the day, what a great way to end this podcast. Until next time, guys, we are going to continue to digest a lot of the information that we're getting both in our economy and our market. Hang in there with us, guys, as we continue to look at this and evaluate and see where we're at. We will keep pace with this. Even as we add other topics, we'll touch on market news. We'll touch on market data as we move forward. But guys, we've talked about this. This is the beginning of what probably is going to come in the next year. We're going to see more change. Right. It's going to happen.
And I think just to leave you guys on that positive note, we're not predicting here a massive depression or any of that stuff. What we're saying is they broke something. It's going to start showing up, and that because of that, they're going to reverse course to try to save everything. And I think they'll do a better job than they did the last time in saving it. But for everything we just talked about in the last 5 minutes, that's just going to make the problem worse.
Might make it worse.
It's going to make
we might
the problem
be here again
worse
in 5 years. Around.
Right, but it's going to avoid, you know, it's take your medicine now or take it later. So by avoiding a massive, you know, crash depression right now, which I think we will avoid that. I do not see us going there. But because we're going to avoid it, because they're going to step in to prevent that, it's going to make it longer. It's going to make it worse in the long run.
So the only way that we see a massive crash or depression is if the Fed doesn't step in to help out.
If they just
if they stand their ground.
Take your medicine.
We're going to get
hit.
And
get better.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, guys, you heard it here first. Probably not first, but maybe second or third. Appreciate you guys tuning in and digesting a lot of this stuff with us. Send us your questions. We love to tackle them at questions@kpeliteaz.com. And we will see you guys in a couple weeks.
See you guys.